So step 10 is continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And then 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. So Maureen, we are anxious to hear what you have to say on that.
Thanks, Greg. So am I. Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Maureen. I'm an alcoholic. And just my sobriety date, June 22nd, 1987. And I have a sponsor. Okay. So tonight I'm going to talk about step 10 and 11. And before I do that, I know that I've mentioned every week that it's so important to know that the steps come in order, that they build on each other. So you have to, you know, start from the very beginning, get a real firm foundation before you move on to the next step. And so for 10 and 11, I wanted to mention that in steps 8 and 9, we showed our willingness to change and recognizing that we have a part in, I recognize that I had a part in damaged relationships and my relationships with institutions. And so that was essential, because to work any step, you have to have willingness. And that was blocking me from me having a direct relationship with my higher power. And I recognized that in actually steps 6 and 7, 8 and 9. On step 9, I started to begin, as I made some of my amends, I started to experience some freedom. You know, I didn't, and some of the promises, like I had mentioned last week, like I didn't regret the past or want to shut the door on it. I could look people in the eye. You know, I didn't have that fear of persons and financial insecurity as I made my amends. So as I got that freedom, it helped me to have a more direct, open channel with my higher power, which is so important to be able to work any of the steps, in particular steps 10 and 11. So those promises started to come true for me. And then, so like anything that is positive and makes me feel better, like it did when I was making amends in step 9, I want more of it. I mean, particularly being an alcoholic, you know, bigger, better, more, you know, that's what I want. And so that kind of led me into wanting to do step 10 and to make progress in my program, not to stay still, particularly since for my step 9, I'm going to be doing that, you know, right along. And the other thing I wanted to mention about step 10 is that that really is the first of, at least for me, I think of it as the first of the three maintenance steps. They help me to maintain my spiritual condition. And also my experience, at least with step 10, as I went into 10 and 11 and 12, those are really steps that I did with the guidance of a sponsor, but I really did a lot of that on my own with her direction. You know, she shared her experience, strength, and hope with me, and how she, you know, worked the step and how she did her inventory, her daily inventory, and then I adapted what was comfortable for me. So, as I said, it's the first of the maintenance steps, and I have to work on my sobriety daily, and that's where step 10 comes into play. And also, it helps me with the maintenance of my spiritual condition. So step 10, again, is continue to take personal inventory, and when I was wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 10, as they say in the 12 and 12, helps us to become more emotionally balanced. It, you know, particularly for me, when I was first in, I was on that roller coaster. And, you know, I'd have a really good day, and I wouldn't, and I would react a lot. I didn't know about taking you know, life 24 hours or making decisions, taking time to do that. And I was constantly reacting and I didn't have much of a filter either. And by the time I got to step 10, I had started to develop some of those tools with the help of my sponsor, particularly giving it time, you know, trying to practice not saying the first thing that comes out of my mouth, try to take a step back. But that doesn't happen all the time, even today. You know, I can react and it can be emotional and you know, there I am. And I have that feeling of guilt and remorse all over again. It's different. It's not because I drank, but it's more of like an emotional hangover. You know, what do I do with it? So that step 10 really helps with keeping me emotionally balanced and to live in, according to the 12 and 12.2, it says that step 10 helps us to live with good purpose under all conditions, which is so important. And again, that's that balance. And to help us to eliminate the emotional hangovers. And that's usually caused because some of my character defects are coming out too, or I feel threatened or I feel fearful. So I might react because I'm jealous, because I'm judgmental, I'm envious, I'm gossip, you know, I'm selfish. All those things can bring out me to react emotionally. And a lot of it is fear, usually fear. If I'm fearful, it usually comes out in anger. I get hurt and I get angry and then I lash out. And I don't do that as much today as I used to. So in step 10, first off, I have to really have a good understanding again of my higher power, because to do any of the steps, you have to have a good connection with your higher power. And I had to have the understanding that I have a forgiving God and that this is a program of progress, not perfection. You know, I'm never going to do it perfectly, because if I do it perfectly, then I've arrived and I never want to arrive. I always want to be working to be a better me. So as I said, it causes, like in step 10, I have to take an accounting, I have to take an inventory of my actions and my interactions. And for me, I usually do it at night. You know, when I'm in bed, I usually think back on my day and think what I could have done differently. Maybe I could have kept my mouth shut. Maybe I didn't even have to give an opinion or open my mouth. And, you know, during the day, I'll do that. But I'm usually not ready to make the apology right away. You know, I usually have to think about it a little bit. And I don't always recognize that I have a part in it still today. Sometimes I don't recognize that I have a part in it. And that's why I have to give it a little bit of time and really think about it, because in order for it to benefit me when I do a step 10 and during the day when I examine my conscience and at night, I want to see what area do I have to be working on. It usually has something to do too with the character defect, because they're going to pop up all the time. You know, even though I did step 6 and 7, they're never gone away. And, you know, persons, places, and things, there are certain people. That's another thing that, you know, maybe this step 10, if the same person keeps popping up and popping up, well, I have to take a look at me. And I also have to look at, is this really a good person for me to be around all the time? If I'm going to, you know, keep being emotionally unbalanced. You know, it might not be a good thing. Although my sponsor today, Beverly, teaches me that God puts people in my life to work on me. So the people that are in my life today are in my life for me so that I can work on my character defects, which is so important. Let's see. So also in step nine, backtrack to step nine, I was able to start to realize too that everything that happened was not somebody else's fault, that I had to start to take some responsibility for myself and for my actions. So that really helped me too when it came to step 10, that I was able to look at me and not always pointing fingers at the other person. Step 10 too really helps me to develop my conscience, that I think I always had a conscience. But I think when I really got into my alcoholism and my drinking, I wasn't making good decisions. And the conscience kind of went out the window. So, you know, through working the steps up till this point, I've really developed a conscience. So if I do something to offend somebody or something that makes me uncomfortable, most times I'm going to feel it right away. I'm not going to be comfortable. I'm going to have to get rid of that. I don't want to stay with that because, as I said a little bit ago, it blocks me from my channel, my relationship with my higher power. You know, if I'm not willing to look at that, and I don't want to carry that around. And the other thing too is if I don't get rid of it, if I don't make the amends or do what I have to do, I could get a resentment, and I don't want it to turn into a resentment. So there are occasions where I have to talk to my sponsor. You know, if I have one that I'm having a hard time, you know, when at night when I review my motives, you know, I've learned that from the time I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. It just took a long time to really let it sink in. But my first sponsor would always say to me, Sister Stephanie, she would always say, you know, what's your motive? What's your motive? You know, she was constantly doing that with me. And I think that was an exercise to help me to get that conscience again, to develop a conscience. So in step 10 at night, like I said, mostly I review the day and also throughout the day. And, you know, then I might make the amends right away. I may do that. And I may have to take a little constructive criticism, too. I have to recognize that when I make an amends, somebody might not be ready to receive it right away. I mean, this is different. This is from, you know, a little different from step 9 because it's fresh. It just happened. And you're going to the person, you're saying, hey, you know, I used poor judgment or I was judgmental. I shouldn't have done that. And they may want to give it 24 hours before they forgive me. And I have to, you know, I have to be willing to take that or the constructive criticism. I've really learned from being in Alcoholics Anonymous in the rooms and outside of the rooms, I've really developed broad shoulders. I'm able to take a criticism that somebody gives me, and I'm able to take a look at that. And especially if I get the same criticism more than once, you know, then I need to really take a look at it. So I just, you know, at night, like I said, I review my day. You know, sometimes it's like liabilities and assets. I mean, sometimes it's been a good day. I haven't really, you know, I have to look at that too. You know, what did I do well that I could do again the next day? Or, you know, maybe I handled the situation not as well as I thought I should, but it doesn't really warrant going to the person and making amends. But I know that so that the next time that I'm in that situation, I can try to act differently. And that helps me to get out of my comfort zone, because that's all about my sobriety, is getting out of my comfort zone, about growing and changing. And that's what step 10 helps me to do that. I mean, probably with this step, the people that I have to practice it on the most are the people that I live with, you know, my husband and my son right now, and not really my coworkers right now because we're all quarantined. We're all separate, but in the workplace also. And it just helps me to really be conscious of how I'm acting with other people. And I have to take a look at it too. I was just thinking about this. When I review at night, I have to kind of put myself in the other person's situation and think, would I want to be treated that way? I mean, that's kind of old school rule of thumb, you know, treat others the way you want to be treated. And so I really have to take a look at that also. The other thing that I do sometimes is I might journal a little bit and write some things down so that at night or during the day, I might review that journal. And again, if the same thing keeps popping up, then I have to take a look at that. So, and there is in our little handy book here, there's a 10-step prayer that I do recite, and it's come from the big book. God, please help me watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up in me, help me to immediately ask you to remove them from me and help me discuss these feelings with someone. Help me to quickly make amends if I harmed anyone, and help me to resolutely turn my thoughts to someone I can help. Help me to be loving and tolerant of everyone today. Amen. And the other thing too is with anything that I do when it comes to the steps or my sobriety, I'm able to turn around and share with others. You know, particularly the women that I'm sponsoring, if they're having difficulty, I'm able to turn around and share with them the way that I would handle a situation. So then we get into step 11. I'm just going to read step 11 again real quick. So step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him. Praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And I was thinking about when I first came into Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, I was raised Catholic. I had all kinds of prayers. But the prayer that really helped me and still does today is the Serenity Prayer. You know, introduced to the Serenity Prayer. I really didn't know the Serenity Prayer until I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. Of course, I knew the Our Father, but I did not know the Serenity Prayer. So that was my first experience with prayer when I came into AA. And then my second experience was help me in the morning and thank you at night. Those were the prayers that I had. Before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, my prayers were, God, please give me this. I really need it. God, help me to get out of this one, and I promise I'll be really good. Those were the prayers that I was familiar with, those foxhole prayers before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, of course, this is a spiritual program. So, you know, the prayers that I learned when I was younger that I memorized, they didn't do it for me. They didn't really do it for me. But what I learned from working the steps, and as I got to this step 11, after, of course, doing step 3, where I, you know, turned my will and my life over to the care of God, and you know, learned, one of my sayings here in AA that I really use all the time is let go and let God. And that even comes true in this step 11. But through the years that I've been in AA, my prayer has basically been, you know, God, your will not mine, your time not mine, and let me accept whatever that is. And it really took a long, long time to get to that because it took me a long time to even want to discern what God's will for me was because I would think it was one thing and it wasn't. So it took a lot of patience, a lot of trial and error to get to the point where I really, really believe that that is the best for me, is God's will and God's time. This step is about prayer and meditation. I'm going to be very honest with you that I don't have a lot of experience, at least personally, with meditation. The times that I really do meditation is if I'm at a meditation meeting or if we're at a retreat. But I, for me, that is not what I have experience in. The only thing I do in the morning, when I get up in the morning, the first thing I do is thank God that I wake. And then I sit for about 20 minutes and I reflect on my day ahead of me. And I reflect on the people in my life and what's ahead for them in their day. And then I do pray at that point, but I am quiet for about 15 or 20 minutes. I just sit there. So I guess that is a form of meditation. And it helps me to focus on what's ahead of me. And then I do say that prayer. You know, I do say, God, you know, I offer my day to you. And, you know, whatever you have in store for me, let me accept it. Let me be a channel of whatever you would have had for me, the people that you're going to put in my life. And I kind of pray all day long. I really do. I mean, when I was younger, I had this higher power that I call God, but he was far, far, far away. You know, he wasn't with me. And my higher power is with me, I mean, all the time. I mean, right next to me, right with me. So, and when I pray too, I pray, you know, sometimes I'll just say, God, you know what I need. And I'll leave it at that. Because I totally trust my higher power today and that he does know what I need. So my prayer has changed. I more talk to God than I pray. That is my prayer life, just to talk to God. I make sure to thank God throughout the day. You know, I have a lot of gratitude for my life, for the people in my life. And I know that I'm blessed. When I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I talked a lot about being lucky. And I know my husband says this, Steve says the same thing. And I'm really not. I'm blessed. I'm very, very blessed. Sometimes I just sit and think about my life, where my life is, what, even in all of this. And, you know, I just have such peace and serenity. In the 12 and 12, it says that prayer is the raising of the heart and mind to God, you know, that you're giving it all to God. And, you know, some of the prayers that I do ask for or pray for, I pray for guidance. You know, I'll pray for guidance. I'll pray for forgiveness, even though I know that my higher power forgives me always, you know, because he judges my heart. I pray for strength. Many a times, you know, through the years, I've had to pray for a lot of strength. I pray for empathy. You know, I never want to get so worldly good or, you know, forget why I have the life that I have today. So I pray for empathy, you know, that I can always have an open heart for others and not be judgmental. I pray for understanding, you know, understanding the situation sometimes, that I pray for acceptance, and I pray for thanksgiving. Those are some of the prayers that I have. So it's just constant. You know, my life is just, I believe the way I live my life too is a prayer to my higher power. They have in here too, which I've always loved this prayer. I love this prayer, the 11th step, and they use the prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love. That where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness. That when there is discord, I may bring harmony. That when there is error, I may bring truth. That where there is doubt, I may bring faith. That where there is despair, I may bring hope. that where there are shadows, I may bring light, that where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Lord, grant that I may seek rather than comfort, to be comforted, to understand than to be understood, to love than to be loved. For it is self-forgetting that one finds. It is by forgiving that one is forgiven. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Maureen. So now we're going to open this up for some question and answer time. If you have a question for Maureen, just go ahead and unmute yourself and ask your question. Who's first?
Hi, I'm Sandy, recovering alcoholic.
Hi, Sandy.
Hi, thank you, Maureen, for that. But one thing that I do, this is not a question, but this is something that that you hit on that was extremely helpful because it happened to me last night. And that is, you know, sometimes in my prayers, I just don't have it. You know, I can sit there and, you know, try to pray. And, you know, it's just, I just find myself all over the place. But now I know it's okay if I just say, you know, in times like that, you know, God, you know what I need. I really love that. Instead of going on and on and just, you know, frustrating myself. It doesn't happen all the time, but it happened last night and you spoke about it. So thank you.
And then usually it gets revealed to me. You know, when you pray like that, it might not be right away, but again, it'll be in God's time.
Right, right. Yeah. Thank you.
Yep.
Love that.
For the sake of the recording, Maureen, could you read that 10th step? Prayer again, so it's CD.
Yep, I can. This is the 10th step prayer. God, please help me watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up in me, help me to immediately ask you to remove them from me and help me discuss these feelings with someone. Help me to quickly make amends if I harmed anyone, and help me to resolutely turn my thoughts to someone I can help. Help me to be loving and tolerant of everyone today. Amen. And that's in the big book, page 84.
Perfect. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Jim, alcoholic. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Jim. Hi.
You know what? I think you answered this question later on after I thought about it. But so have you ever said something, thought something, and immediately thought, yeah, that it just didn't jive with you, didn't quite sit right, and then realize later that, you know what, it really wasn't out of line, it really was okay, I really don't need to go back and make an amends to that person today or tomorrow?
Yes. Yeah, I have had that happen. I guess that's why sometimes I'm not sure, so I don't make the amends right away because I have to think about it. I mean, in that instance, maybe I could have handled it a different way, but it wasn't that bad that I feel I have to go make an amends, but I'm going to be more conscious of it the next time.
Maybe give another alcoholic a call and say, hey, this happened. You know, what do you think?
Yeah, probably Beverly. I would probably call my sponsor or one of my sponsees also. Yep.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's not a get out of jail free card either, huh?
I mean, that's the other thing, too, is I don't just call my sponsor all the time. Oftentimes I'll discuss it with women that I sponsor, you know, get their opinion and, you know, that's where that connection is.
Hi, Maureen. I'm Leslie. I raised
my hand. Hi, Leslie.
Pay attention to it. So I'm going to burst forth here. I want to thank you for sharing with us tonight and the thought and, you know, the thought and the effort and just the good heart behind the things you talk about. I have a question though.
Okay.
You are a much nicer person than me generally. And you were talking about, I think Beverly telling you something like people
are in our lives to work on us.
Now, yeah. You know, sometimes I'm someone who is, I'll ease you out. I mean, is it ever appropriate? Like sometimes what they're trying to teach me is I have a boundary and I can tell them to step off. Is that
right.
a legitimate part of a step 10 to the thought process?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I've actually had that happen. Yes. I mean, I've had that happen where it's like I said a little bit earlier, that persons, places, and things. And I've had somebody recently that they just do not bring out the best in me. I want to control what they're doing. And, you know, I've taken a look at it. And I think what I'm trying to do is change the person, and they're not going to change. So I finally had to I had to limit my contact with them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Or, you know, that, I don't know, maybe it's in my mind, it's kind of a woman thing, and we take on this victim thing, like we're always doing something wrong. And that's not necessarily the case. And I wonder if you had anything to any thoughts on that. You know, taking things on that don't belong to us. And is that a proper step, 10th step topic anyway?
Well, I don't know. But I mean, that has happened with this person, you know, mm-hmm. where and also I've had people where I'm doing for them when they could do for themselves. Mm-hmm. And, so I've had to take a step back from that and actually go to Al-Anon also with that. So, mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Well, thank you. And you are a much nicer person. You're a very nice person. Thank
Not you. Really, Leslie. You just
hide it well. Maureen, I guess. But thank you again.
Thank you.
Who's next?
Well, this is Sandy, and I'd like to double dip real quick because, Maureen, you said something intriguing to me or to us, and that was that I've never done with my sponsees, and that was to run stuff by your sponsees.
Mm-hmm. I have done that.
I guess I'd like to hear a little bit more about that because I always feel like you know, like they're coming to me, but for me to go to them, I just have never done that.
Yeah, I do. I have that relationship. I mean, not with every sponsee I have, but there are some that I do have that relationship with, you know, that mm-hmm. we can go back and forth. Like they might come to me with an issue and maybe I have an issue going on at the same time. And so okay. we'll talk about it. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's kind of, I'm sure it's the same with you. I mean, that's how God sets up sponsorship. You know, some of the women that I sponsor have the same issues that I have, that I've had to work through. So if one pops up, then we talk about it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else?
Hi, Maureen, Rena Alcoholic.
Hi, Rena.
Hi. How can you tell when something is God's will for you or not?
Well, so sometimes things will happen for me and I'll tell my sponsor, I'll tell Beverly about it and she'll say, because I won't know if it's God's will or not, and she'll say, did you have anything to do with it? Did you make it happen? And I said, no. And she said, well, then go. It must be God's will, you know. I guess if it just down deep feels, you know, good, you know, and if it's not God's will, and if I'm open to God's will, and if I start down that path and it's not, he's going to change it. I had to happen about 7 years ago with a job. I was in a job. And I was interviewed at another place, and I felt like I really needed to take that other job. And I felt I should be honest with where I was working because they were training me. And I said, well, I've been offered this other job. And so they let me go, you know, because they weren't going to train me anymore. Well, then the other job didn't hire me. So there I was without a job. And so I called. Steve said, just call the other place. So I called, and they hired me, and I've been there like 7.5 years. So I feel like God made that happen. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that other job wasn't really God's will. He said, wait, come back over here. This is where you're supposed to be. And I have those things happen all the time in my life.
Thank you.
Okay.
Who's next?
All right, I guess it's going to be me.
All right, go ahead.
I'm watching the clock. Anyway, when you were talking about your step 10 and your inventory, and you talked a little bit about the positive aspect.
Right.
So right. You discover that there's a positive and that it keeps repeating. How do you deal with that to make that more of a part of not only your program, but the way you live? In other words, if, you know, I can't think of a specific example.
Well, when I was reading about the step, you know, I have to, like I said, I have to stay humble. I have to realize that, you know, everything in my life is because of my higher power, even though I'm doing the footwork. So if I really feel, you know, that something just keeps coming up that's really positive that I'm doing, I just need to remain grateful for that. You know, I have to keep an attitude of gratitude and never think that it's because of something that I'm doing on my own. That and then usually it's something that, you know, happens, and then God's going to use it somewhere in my life, you know, whether it be in the rooms or outside of the rooms.
I guess what I'm trying to get to is, like, you know, say you discover a certain, you know, positive talent that, you know, God gives us each talents.
Mm-hmm.
You say, oh, okay, so do you, like, I wish I could think of an example where you, like, you work on it or you do some research like you would do with a character defect.
Like before I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, you would never get me to stand up in front of people and talk. I mean, I was really scared. And I'm a social worker by trade. And now, like, that is a real strength of mine. You know, I can talk in front of people, you know, and another strength I have is that I am very empathetic and, you know, just real comfortable with talking to people. And so I use that in the rooms and out of the rooms. I mean, if that's an example, you know, I help a lot of women, you know, in the rooms and outside the rooms.
No, that's perfect. Yeah. Thank you.
Any other questions?
This is Lisa. I have a question.
Hi, Lisa.
Alcoholic. So I was thinking about what you said about control and in relationship to a person, and you might be trying to control the situation. If you take that and go to control, but not so much a person, but maybe a situation or something that's going on. And I think that comes back to me with fear or something. So let's say you've done something, maybe it's just having a resentment towards a situation or because you're trying to control something. What do you do is there an amend that you need to make if you've been resentful of a situation or an organization or something, or do you just try to change what your fear is and try to let go of this? I think you know that I have these maybe too much going on with my mind and trying to not to accept things that are going on. But is it necessary to make amends, or do you just usually just try to change your behavior?
I would probably, it's not really related to the person or the, it's not, in that instance, I don't think it's related to the person or the place. I think it's related to, you need to deal with the fear, mm-hmm. and the control is a character defect that maybe you have to work with your sponsor, me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
yeah, that's because it's not really affecting the place or the person. Like in my instance, when I was trying to control that person and say, it was about their AA program, I think you should be going to more meetings. I'm constantly mm-hmm. telling them, pushing it on them, you know, and finally I realized they don't want to. I can't want it for them more than they do. So I finally had to back off and kind of take a step back.
Okay, because I love the 10-step prayer. And when I read it again after you said it, and I think if I start the day and just say, hey, help me recognize where I need to pull back and not be fearful and stuff like that, that's one thing. But then if I've actually acted out because of my behavior, that's where I need
that's
to make
different.
The impact.
Yeah, okay, that's gotcha. Different. Yeah,
I like that. I think that's very helpful. And I, too, agree with you that the acceptance prayer is very important, and I need to use it more. So thank you. It was enlightening.
And the other tool that my sponsor, Beverly, teaches me is bite your tongue and then bite your tongue. Okay. All the time she teaches me that.
Okay. Yeah, because sometimes it does. It reacts. I had a rough work afternoon. Just because things weren't going the way I wanted to, and they did not go the way I wanted to. And a lot of times I'd react from that, and I didn't today. I managed to feel myself being very poor me, things didn't go the way I wanted. And then I kind of was able to let it go, but it doesn't always go like that.
No.
Sometimes it piles up until I'm rude to my husband or to a coworker.
Yeah, that's when you have to pick up the phone and call your sponsor.
Okay. Thanks, Maureen.
Good job.
Yes. All right. I think that takes care of our time for this evening. So thank you, Maureen. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you tune back in next week.